I want to continue our thought from our short class time. And Mike kind of started touching in on some of that stuff. And maybe just for clarification purposes, and he did at one point, appreciate that. The term, when we start thinking about free moral agency, what are we talking about? Free will. You know, sometimes we use that kind of terminology and go, well, what is free moral agency? It's free will. God has given us options to choose. In fact, I think we have a really great example of that. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Beginning in verse, we'll read verses 14 through 16 of chapter 24, and then we'll go down just a little bit farther. And remember, this is toward the very end of Joshua's life. And he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in the sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," now listen to carefully, "choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." That's a powerful thought there. If you think it's evil to serve the God of creation, and if I'm thinking right, the word Lord there is actually translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. If you think it's, and we transliterate that to Jehovah. If you think it's evil to serve Jehovah, the God who created all that there is, then you can choose, notice, for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served and that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But now listen to this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now stop right there for a moment. It is obvious at this point in time that Joshua had made that choice for himself and for his household. We're going to serve Jehovah. We're going to serve the God that created all that there possibly is. But notice what he tells the people. It's up to you. This is called free will. And he says, it's up to you. If you think it's an evil thing to serve Jehovah, you got a plethora, if you will, of other gods and stuff that you could serve, the ones that your fathers did in time past. Nobody's going to force you. God is not going to force us. That is not kind of what Mike was bringing out a while ago. God is not going to force us. He doesn't want us to be forced into doing something. He wants us to have that free will to make our choices, because that's what he's looking for. He wants people who make that decision. And that's what we need to be teaching people in the world today. But then go on down just a little bit further to verses 19 through verse 22. Oh, well, by the way, I didn't finish verse 16. Notice what the people initially answered. "So the people answered, said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Well, that's what their initial answer was. But notice, as time goes along, that they start faltering. "But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Of course, we know the history of God's people that followed that. But the point being is God's not going to force us. He's not going to make us do things that are against our free will, against our desires to serve him. Then, if you will, and this is the only other good example I'm going to use tonight, there are plenty of others, but Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And we'll read at least verses, we won't get into the three options, but let's just read verses 10 and 11. Pick up in verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David. So Gad is going to go tell David these things. Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Well, I want all three. No. God's going to tell Gad to tell him what? Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you. And so Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself. And I'll be honest with what Mike touched on just a little bit. I'm glad God gave me choices. Doesn't mean I'm always going to make the right one. Sometimes I'm going to make mistakes. Sometimes I'm going to look at something and I'm going to say, man, that's the prize. That's what I'm looking for. And I'll choose the wrong one. But the beautiful thing is, I may have chosen the wrong one, but that I can correct that problem by choosing to come back to God. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I want to read y'all some. This last time I tried to find some, I couldn't find. I think I can find it this time. What I'm looking for here. Hang on, just one second. I think I can find that quickly. Okay. And now this was a movie, but it was supposedly this particular quotation was actually spoken. By a British general, I believe he was. He says, do you see those campfires, gentlemen? Yesterday we ruled over Boston. Tonight we are besieged in it. And still they come from every village and farm. Tonight 10,000, tomorrow perhaps twice 10,000. We experienced more than a defeat. More than mere misfortune of war, we've been vanquished by an idea. Now listen to this, a belief in rights. The idea of freedom. And you stop and think about it, what Brother Murr said is actually very accurate. This whole nation was formed on the idea that we can make choices of freedom to do these things. And where did we get that idea? From God. From God, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. And we go back and ask this question. Do we have to remain in sin? Do we have to live a life of sin? And the answer conclusively is no, we do not. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Two powerful words, were and but. You were this way, but you chose a different route. You've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. We've been justified, not of our own, but because God is the great justifier. If there's anyone here this evening who knows what you need to do in order to be saved, never been baptized to have your sins washed away, and you're ready to make that choice for yourself to become a child of God, to have those sins as is written, well penned for us, by the way, in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away. You can have that done tonight. We stand ready to assist you in that. Maybe it is the case you have been baptized. You are a child of God. But you also recognize that some of your choices have not been in harmony with God's will. Haven't been according to what He would have you to make those choices. Isn't it a beautiful thing that He gives us the option to choose now to come back to Him on His terms? And I often emphasize this, the only way we can ever come back to God, the only way we can ever come to Him is on His terms. I don't get to make that decision. But He does give me the choice. If there's anyone here who has ever in need of baptism or need just the prayer of the congregation, whatever your need may be, won't you come forward? We stand and sing this song.